just thinking, sort of dawned on me, I think I'm probably the oldest person here. That's sort of shocking, isn't it? Here. Turn in your Bible, Hebrews chapter 10. We'll begin reading for our text, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for a judgment of fire indignation that shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Father, we approach you in the beginning of this message and assign to us a subject. And we know that only through your grace and the presence of your Spirit we'll be able to deliver this message in a way that will be effective in the hearts of your children. We ask, Father, for your presence and for the working of the Spirit. For it's in the name of Christ that we ask. Amen. I've been asked to preach on church attendance. And I think probably this is a fitting subject for the last message of this conference. We've heard some outstanding sermons on church. We've heard some wonderful truths. To me, Brother Pack's message sort of capped it off. I am a firm believer in the Bride of Christ. I hope to be in the Bride. But I oftentimes wonder if I'm faithful enough. It's going to be faithful folks in that Bride. We're going to deal somewhat with the attendance that is such a subject most folks don't like to hear. Our text is an unusual text. It's often used by preachers to teach that one is responsible to attend, well, according to Pastor Evershurst, we like to have him there, Evershurst. I don't believe there's a subject that we could deal with that is probably disliked more, especially by those who fail to attend faithfully in the church. It makes them feel guilty. Jesus said to the Pharisees in John chapter 5 and verse 39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." What I'm saying here is that the problem we have in our churches today is that we have too many lost people in the membership. And I don't judge an individual or church. And I'd say the church in Denton Springs probably has more saved people than most. But in a lot of churches today, the approach to ministering the gospel has gone completely away from scriptural means, and seeking primarily to have numbers. And all they achieve and accomplish is build appeals for lost people. As much in the scriptures are given, and most of the scriptures, to me at least, the New Testament, is written for God's people. We spend a lot of time dealing with the lost. We surely know that we desire to see so the same. But you know, it's not the duty of a church or a pastor to save souls. Our duty is to preach the gospel. God has to do the saving of souls. Too many today have gotten caught up in winning the world for Jesus, so they've forgotten to preach the truth and leave God to the business of regeneration and saving souls. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. That's to God's people. Lost people won't do that. Again, we find Psalm 119, verse 11. It says, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Who's he talking about here? Who is talking? It's a child of God. The Bible is written to instruct us on being obedient to him through his word, we might bring forth fruit to his glory. One thing the Bible insists upon, everything God has made will give him glory. Whether we are children of God, certainly in that way we glorify our God through his grace. We're trophies of grace throughout eternity. Will be a trophy of God's amazing grace and what he did for us in Jesus Christ. At the same time, if you're lost, you may think that you don't have anything to do with God, anything to do with redemption. He's the one to whom you have to do. And you will, even by spending an eternity in hell, give glory to his justice, his holiness. You are an instrument to glorify God Almighty. You can't get away from that. In our text, we have a verse that has been used often as a means to encourage people to go to church. I don't believe this text actually teaches that. I want to show you at least my understanding of this verse. Now, I believe that it should be applied. I believe it can be applied to some that we know today. According to the scholars, I'm no Greek scholar, I take their word for it. The word forsake that's used in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, is a strong and emphatic word. They say it's a double compound. Means to leave down, behind, and by implication to abandon. It signifies to abandon in the time of danger. It means not one who just simply misses a church service once in a while. It means one who turns from the church and from the head of the church. And when one turns from the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ, then it goes on to tell us that there remaineth no more sacrifice. He's the only one acceptable by God. And if you reject Jesus Christ, you reject the only way of salvation. There's no other way. If you read the text, you'll find says in verse 26, For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. Here the willful sinning has to do with a special kind of sin. This has to go back to the forsaking of the assembly that he's been talking about. One then who abandons Christ sins willfully in this sin. He has forsaken the only hope of salvation. There's just no other. He has apostatized. I think it's rather alarming in these verses to note how they're worded. If you'll notice, it speaks first of all of those who have received the knowledge of the truth. Someone who professes at least to know Jesus Christ. They have a knowledge of what it takes to be saved. He goes on to say, how much more punishment, suppose you, should he be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. Notice that. It sounds to me like this person is really saved. Go on, notice. An unholy thing hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Lost person can't do that. The Spirit of grace works in a saved person, not a lost person. It goes on to say, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, our recompense saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Not lost people. I've heard many times this verse used. They say, well, this is a lost person, a false professor. It doesn't say that in the text, folks. It's talking about you and me. God's people who might abandon Christ, who go away from the truth that they know. Now, let me give you an idea of what I think this applies. How many of you have known people who have been in the Lord's church? This conference has been centered around the church. And this is an important issue. We as God's people need to realize how important the Lord's church is and how important our membership in that church is. This centers around the church. But we've known people who have sat in the Lord's church months, years, have been members of the church, have been active in the church. And then for some reason, some silly reason sometimes, they hit the road, take off and end up going to some false church, false order somewhere. They abandon the Lord's body. You say, well, you mean if they abandon the body, they're lost? And that's not what it says. The Lord simply is saying in this verse, notice he says, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. When God's people know the truth, set under the truth of his body. Listen, folks, the church is so important that sometimes we forget this. We have the privilege of knowing not only the truth, but being a member of this precious body that belongs to Christ. He's the head of his body. He's not the head of all these other churches. He's the head of his body. And you're part of that. And you abandon that body to go out to something else. He says he's going to judge you. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible says he scourges every son of the sheep. Yes, he judges his people. We give an account of him. It's in this life. It's nothing to do with our eternity. There are a great number of folks going to lose rewards and advantages. They're going to be saved as if by fire. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's in the hands of God. That's not in our hands. But folks, we are so responsible to our Lord now. And we forget just how responsible we are to Him. We're going to give an account to Him in that day. Now the subject I was assigned is church attendance. And I do want to get into that. That's my second point. The lack of being faithful in attendance to the Lord's body. I don't believe that we can condemn people because they miss a service once in a while. You see, folks, this morning I'm missing my obligation to attend the church of which I am a member, the body of Christ in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm not there. If it's a sin to simply miss a service, then I'm sinning this morning. So we must realize that there are reasons for us not being in the assembly. Now, if I understand correctly, in the beginning of the church in its beginning, folks, they were more zealous than we are. They met every day from house to house. But not every member was at every meeting, according to the history of the church. So to miss the church service occasionally when we have a reason, I mean, if a person's sick, can't go, or if you're in the hospital, you can't go, there's a reason. There's other reasons. I'm not going to try to enumerate your reasons. If you've missed the church and you feel like you've got a reason, that's between you and the Lord. What I want to emphasize here is that that attendance is the most important thing in your life. Now listen to me. Jesus said, if you don't love me more than you love your mom and your dad, your husband or your wife, your children, or anything, if you don't love me more than these, you're not worthy of me. You see, our love for Him carries over with us and our love for His body. You can't love the head and not love His body. That's ludicrous. It's impossible. In this life, it'd be like trying to love your wife's head and not caring for her mind. Wouldn't even make any sense. We love Christ. We love His church. And if we love His church, we want to obey Him. We'll be there. I'm always amazed. John chapter 14:15. So many times the Lord points out, if you love me, keep my commandments. You do what I tell you to do, if you love me. He that hath my words and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he goes on to say, that's the one me and my Father will come in. We're going to abide with you. We're going to fellowship with you. Sometimes I think we've gotten real close to about a sin state. We're just about as lukewarm as you can be. And I'm talking about the Lord's churches. I'm not talking about this world. This world and all the worldly churches don't mean a thing to the world. What I'm talking about is the Lord's churches, membership of the Lord's churches. We don't see the zeal we once had of them. I took note in this conference one thing that I noticed that stood out to me in this church. It doesn't just deal with this church, but with all the preachers and the community. I guess the main problem was Brother Homer was here. When Brother Homer's here, we heard amen. Brothers and sisters, preachers have stood up here one after another. And you folks are sitting back there quiet. You're not excited about anything. You're lukewarm. Admit it. You're not on fire for God. I'm not on fire for God. Churches are getting in a state of indifference. Pastors labor hard to preach sermons. Sometimes we struggle hours over a message. Get up and preach in 30, 45 minutes. Everybody goes home and the next day asks me, what did the preacher preach on yesterday? Can't remember. We're lukewarm, folks. We all. If we're not close to the coming of Christ, I don't know what hope we're going to have. To be obedient. To fail to attend the church robs God. Now, I want to show you something. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Isn't that amazing? We've got the Holy Spirit in us. He can do anything according to that power. That's for us. He can stir our heart. He can make us on fire. You know, the Scripture says, quench not the Holy Spirit. What's that word quench mean? It means put out fire. It goes on to say, unto him, that is unto our God, unto our Savior, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Did you know, as a Christian, you cannot honor God outside of the church as well as you can inside the church. You can't give glory to your Savior if you're not active and assembled with the body. That's where He receives His glory. That's what the verse says. So you rob God of a glory when you're out of church for a reason that is not really a legitimate reason. I don't know about some of you preachers, but I've heard some dealings and excuses. You go visit people and they tell you why they weren't at church, and I've walked out of houses just shaking my head. What in the world is the matter? I wonder if they're even the same folks anymore. Some of the excuses, they think preachers don't believe anything. We're not quite that dumb folks. We really aren't. Did you know this point in the Bible? Very wonderful. The giving forth of life. You see, we've been regenerated. We have the Spirit of God. We have a light, a gospel light, a light of holiness, a light of righteousness. It's a light given to us by our God. And it's already been used, but the verse says we're not to put it under a bushel and hide it. We're going to put it on a candlestick and let it shine forth. In the Bible, and there's no such thing as a candlestick. That's a lampstand. We don't know what a lampstand is. We're told in Revelation chapter 1, 12 through 13, that when John saw the Lord, he saw Him in the midst of those seven lampstands. And he had the stars in his hand, too. The stars were passed. Revelation 1, verse 20, John tells us what, Scripture tells us what they were. No room for our debating the issue. The lampstands are the seven churches. Lampstands didn't represent the church. And if we are lights, or we're lamps, actually, is what that term means. And the church is a lampstand, and you know what a lampstand's for? It's to hang light on. Back in those days, everybody carried a lamp at night. And when they enter the house, they all hang their lamp on the lampstand, and it gives light in the house. The Lord simply, the Bible is simply using that to show us the importance of our membership and our assembling together in the church. If the church is a lampstand and our light gives light, then we're to be that. Hang that lamp on the lampstand, and we give honor and glory to God. It's a great truth. And to think that God would use us, but He uses us that way. And He received glory from us. Also, we find that we rob ourselves when we fail to go to church. You know, brothers and sisters, there's no place you can learn from the glories of God's precious Word like you can in the body of Christ. You can sit home and read the Bible and read all the commentaries you want to read. But God's given you an under-shepherd, and God will teach you through that under-shepherd. You will learn more by going to church, not only through the preaching of your pastor and the fellowship of the brethren, but the Holy Spirit will bless you. You know, in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, we're told that individuals are temples of the Holy Spirit. I mean, God dwells with humans. Gracious, that's a thought, isn't it? The Almighty in the presence of the Spirit actually dwells within us. That means everywhere we go, whatever we do, we take God with us. It's an amazing thought. But at the same time, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, He dwells in the church. You read that verse, you see he's talking about the church and not individuals. So the church is a special gathering in which the Holy Spirit dwells. He's our teacher. He's our comforter. But you can't be happy. If you're a child of God and you love the Lord, you can't be happy outside of the church. Why would you want to be? I mean, we should look forward to time to go to church. Lost people look forward to going to everything. I'm always amazed at what people enjoy. People enjoy going to carnivals and things, riding these crazy rides and get sick and all that kind of stuff. I said, well, they got to be crazy. And these people go to bars at night and get drunk and then go home and throw up and get sick. And these people got to be crazy. That's supposed to be fun? I can tell you what fun is. Going to the house of God and enjoying the Word of God, God's people. That's like having a party. It lifts you up. It encourages. It strengthens. That's what the church was given for. That we might be encouraged and might grow in the things of God. And the Holy Spirit is in the church in a special way, teaching us of the things of God. Didn't Jesus say that He would send a comforter and He would remind us and that He would teach us all things? He's our teacher. And He does it in the body of Christ. Now, He teaches us outside. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying that you can't grow in grace and in knowledge outside of the church like you can inside. It's a special place, isn't it? The church as a body of Christ. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 20, deals with that. I'm not going to take the time to read it. Verses 12 through 20. Every member in particular. Paul brings it out very clearly. And he uses the body as a typology. And we place this importance on the least member of the body. You know, you ever see anybody about a pinky ring? And I read the always remember the kids for a pinky ring. God said, they're going to put a lot of money on a pinky ring. That's a big deal. You know, decorate that little finger. That's just about the smallest member of my body. Maybe that's not a very good application of it, but that's the way I think. We like to improve our bodies. We like to honor the members of our body. And I don't think, folks, for a minute, we decided we didn't want that little finger and just cut it off and throw it away. I mean, if somebody tried, you'd probably put a pretty good fight. But the members of the Baptist church are just that important. In fact, far more important than the members of the body. Paul shows each member in its proper place is important in the body. So if that member's not there, for whatever reason, or, and of course, let me remind you again, I'm not talking about every service being obligated in that sense, or reason. But there's no reason you shouldn't be there. I mean, that's just the way it is. But if members are neglecting the assembly, you know what you're doing? You're handicapping the body of Christ. I lived with a wife that was handicapped for close to 15 years, well, more than that, although. 4 years of her life, she was handicapped. I know what a handicapped body is all about. I know the limitations of a handicapped body. Folks, that's what you do to the Lord's church. If members are not faithful to the church, they actually have a part in handicapping the work of that church. Every member is needed in that body to perform the duty that God has given it. The body needs your presence, your prayers, and your time. It needs you in every way. And I'm just going to close and I'm going to ask you a question. And I hope this doesn't apply to anyone here. I hope everybody here is just as faithful to the church as they can be. It would be a great thing for them. But I want to ask you about something. Would you imagine that someone who is not faithful in attendance, when they stand at the bema seat of Christ and look up at the Master, and He looks down at them like He looks at them. Old people went out and went bitterly, didn't He? It really hurt people because He had denied His Lord in a sense. By being unfaithful to His body, you deny Him. And you're going to lose your voice. Folks, it's so easy to go to church. It's the most wonderful thing in the world to be a part of the Lord's body. Don't treat it lightly. Don't neglect it. Attend the church. do those things that God has required you to do. And someday, you might hear the Master say to you,